This conference is being recorded.
Okay.
I think you finally got it working. Mike, are you there?
I did. Sorry for the technical issue. But this allows people who can't make it to join in conversation or listen to it during the week. Go ahead, Glow. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, I was done, Mike. Go ahead.
This is Carol. Let me ask one question of Guy. Are you working with NYSERDA?
Yes, we do, off and on. And it was strange because we just got a new academic dean, and I think she's from Baltimore, and that's where I wanted to find out if there was any link there.
Who is that?
Oh, I can't pronounce her last name yet. Uba Digand.
Doesn't ring a bell.
I'll email you later.
Okay.
Hi, this is George with New Jersey Youth Corps.
Hey, George, it's Glow. How are you
doing? Hi, Glow. Doing great. Yourself?
I'm good.
Good.
Is Lynn with you today or not?
No, not today.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What we do during the week, and Carol, do we have your email that we can make sure that when we pass things around, we can include you on that list?
Sure. Do you want me to just give it to you now?
Okay.
It's GOOSEWING, Goosewing, at Errols, ERols.com.
Carol, can you repeat that one more time, please?
Sure. It's Goosewing, GOOSEWING, at Errols, ERols.com.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And someone just joined us. Can you say your name, please?
Yes, it's Paula Paris from JFY Networks in Boston.
Hi, Paula.
Hello.
Okay. Well, there'll be other people joining us soon. One administrative note. Next week, there's going to be a Green for All conference. So it's going to be a telephone conference. I think you might have all gotten an email about it. We think that's pretty valuable for all of us to attend that, or those of us who can. So we're not going to have a session next week. And then we've got the annual grantee meeting on the 26th.
Yes.
So we're going to take a two-week hiatus and probably reconvene on the 2nd of September.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll send out reminders, and we'll still have correspondence back and forth throughout those periods. So anyone who's got ideas or come up with anything or wants to address the group, just feel free to do so between now and the 2nd. So we'll go on that. I apologize for not including the access number on the reminder note. I noticed that. I think Roslyn reminded me of that, and I looked back, and, oh, yeah, it wasn't there. So we'll try to make sure we include everyone next time. Joe Bruss of EPA wanted to attend this, but he had meetings. What happens on these meetings is often people have conflicts. They come and go because they have training or whatever. So why don't we get started? And Rosalind, do you want to introduce Carol for us?
Certainly, I'll give that a try. I wanted to bring Carol to the group because she is our expert in Maryland on the weatherization training program. She has, through the CTEC consortium, helped to construct a training program that's going to be utilized by all the jurisdictions in Maryland in connection with their housing authority or housing programs and workforce development. It's an excellent partnership. We have certainly benefited.
Betsy McGovern?
Thanks, Betsy.
And the program that she has coordinated and put together is currently being implemented. And with that, Carol.
Okay. Thanks, Rosalind. I am – the word expert scares me. I am the person who was tasked with trying to gather 16 little wandering cats into one corral and get them to all do the same thing. Just a quick background on Maryland community colleges. We do not have a central community college system like some colleges do. We are 16 individual independent institutions, each with their own president, their own boards, varied funding sources, varied programming, everything else. So it really is kind of dealing with 16 different kingdoms or queendoms, which has been probably more of a challenge than the actual getting the training started. But it was just a good confluence of interests that we had started pulling together this CTEC, which is short for Construction and Energy Technologies Education Consortium, which is quite a mouthful, which is why we just use CTEC. That probably started about 9 months ago because we finally all decided every college in the state was doing construction training. We were each paying for our own curriculum development, our own professional development, all that. This is silly. Why don't we all start trying to collaborate? So we were doing that, and we were together fairly well by the time the stimulus money started coming down. Our local government agencies related to weatherization for low-income housing and for utilities doing weatherization services frankly didn't know where to go, and someone suggested they try us, and that was kind of the start of it. What we've ended up doing is doing a lot of research, trying to find out where are the best programs. We have some people in the Department of Housing and Community Development who really are the experts on this stuff. They kind of guided us towards Williamsport Weatherization Training Center, which I think Rosalind mentioned you had discussed. But we quickly discovered that they were not taking on any more students. They had to stop because they were going to have enough to do on their own. However, they were very helpful to us. And for those of you who are in other areas, if you look up where your approved, authorized EPA training centers, EPA and DOE training centers are, there were 10 of them that were started about 15 to 20 years ago, I believe it was, and Williamsport was one of them. So they really do have the best resources. And they were just phenomenally helpful to us. We ended up buying curriculum from them, but that really wasn't the important part. It was really how we teach hands-on weatherization. They have a wonderful facility, and so we were able to go up and take photos and measurements and all that kind of stuff and come back and duplicate it here in Maryland. So we literally transported their weatherization tactics program into Maryland. We also did a lot of research on the best curriculum to do auditing, although we're calling it Home Energy Analyst. And the program at NYSERDA was the best turnkey curriculum for us. We had instructors with a lot of construction experience, but they didn't have experience in auditing. And the curriculum that NYSERDA has is very step-by-step. I mean, it's on day one, teach this, do this exercise, assign this for homework. And I'm sure once our folks know what they're doing, you know, they'll go on their own way. But it was so prescriptive that we couldn't have found anything any better. So if any of you are looking to buy curriculum, I suggest looking into NYSERDA. It only cost us $23,000. Excuse me?
You want to explain
NYSERDA? Oh, I'm sorry. NYSERDA is the New York State Energy Resource and Development Authority. It's a New York government agency, but they are one of the leaders in research and training around weatherization. They have partnerships with a number of colleges, community colleges in that area. I know Hudson Valley Community College is one of them. So the colleges up there are the delivery agents for their curriculum.
Do they have a website, or we just Google New York State Research?
Just Google NYSERDA, N-Y-S-E-R-D-A. And it may even be NYSERDA.org, pretty basic. But they have an awful lot of stuff to offer. The curriculum we bought was $23,000, and it includes auditing, envelope, which is the exterior of the house, and HVAC. So we actually have three different programs that we were able to purchase from them.
Is that a license that you can now reproduce as much as you need to?
Yeah, we have a licensing agreement. Because of the way our colleges are structured, we ended up doing one agreement through one of the community colleges. That college is acting as the fiscal agent, and then they have the contracts with all the other community colleges. Because we really didn't want our customers and our partners to have contracts with 16 different institutions. So we tried to simplify it for them, made one institution that agent, and then we share among ourselves that way. NYSERDA also has hands-on things that you can buy, like little houses where you can demonstrate what the different parts of a house are. They all were part of that initial cost, so it really was a good deal. We ended up training 12 instructors to be auditing instructors with the understanding that they are responsible for covering the entire state. We identified the five biggest colleges who have construction programs as the training hubs. So training that requires hands-on resources are only offered at those five colleges. Courses that don't require hands-on, which includes the auditing, includes envelope, I haven't read HVAC yet, but they can be delivered at any college in the entire state. So if you know Maryland, it's kind of an upside-down L-shape. Most of the activity is centered in the center of the L, because that's where you have Baltimore and Washington. But our furthest out counties in western Maryland and our furthest out counties on the eastern shore all need services. They probably have more low-income housing per capita than other areas because they're largely forgotten. So it was really important to us to make sure that every county in the state had access to training. I think down the road, if demand warrants it, we probably will end up doing the hands-on labs further out. But until we really knew what was going to be demanded of them, we really didn't feel like we wanted to spend all the additional money to do that. Go back to the instructors. We trained 12 instructors. They were sent by 12 different colleges, but every one of them with the understanding that they may have to travel. So if our furthest west county, Garrett County, wants auditor training, one of our approved instructor is going to go out there and teach probably a five-day course and stay overnight, and we will cover the costs through CTEC, through our umbrella organization. If you're teaching in your home area, you just get paid an hourly rate like you usually do. So that seems to be a way that we can make sure everybody has access to training, and that was really an important part. It was really important to me personally to make sure that happened, because as those of you in community colleges know, sometimes the big guys kind of outshout the little guys, and I'm very much a little guy person. So I wanted to make sure we did get it everywhere that we could. We trained 15 instructors for tactics, which is the insulation and the caulking and repairing windows and all of that kind of stuff. To develop that, we did work closely with our state agency that is responsible for low-income housing, and they really guided us on what their rules and regulations were for using that federal money. However, we also are working with all of our utilities across the state, who also have a demand from our Public Service Commission, which is our governance agency for utilities. They are all required to do weatherization for a higher level income group. Then we also have a lot of private citizens who are saying, oh my God, last year some people's gas and electric bills went up to $800, $900 a month. And in Maryland, that's exorbitant. It probably normally would be $200, $300. So a lot of people are suddenly saying, oh my, I need to find out why my utility bills are so high. So we are training the people that they can hire to come in and do that work. So we really are looking at a broader audience than just the ARRA low-income housing people. That money has driven our curriculum development and our program development. But in the long term, the program will serve everybody in the state.
Are those primarily auditors that you're training, energy
auditors? Our first classes actually were for tactics, for the guys who will go in and do the insulation and the caulking and all that stuff. The state agencies who are responsible for the low-income housing are requiring their auditors to take the tactics course first because they believe it's really important that their folks know the outcome of the work orders that they write. They don't want their guys making recommendations, and I use guys as a generic term. They don't want their auditors making recommendations for changes that really aren't the most cost-effective or that could end up endangering the residents because they seal a house too tightly or readjustments to the heating system aren't made, all those kinds of things. So auditors, crew chiefs, and crew members for those people working with the federal funding, they all have to do the tactics first. And if I'm going on too long, somebody jump in because I've been
great.
Doing this so many times that I kind of get rolling on it. Because of our work with our state WEA organizations and people like Rosalind and some other groups that were really trying to look at, is there a career ladder here? And we were hearing a lot from our local weatherization agencies, those doing low-income housing, saying, just because you take a 35-hour auditing course and just because you are BPI certified does not mean you're an auditor. And they really pounded that into my head. I spoke to some of the guys doing the work, and they said even after 3 or 4 years on the job, they're still learning new things. Depending on where you are, the housing stock may be quite varied. In other places, it's going to be fairly consistent, so it's not going to be as challenging probably. But if you're going from a low-income urban brick row house with an elderly couple living in it that haven't been able to do any renovations over the last 40 years, you're going to have different challenges than a low-income family living in a trailer out in Western Maryland, or a low-income family on the Eastern Shore who has a home that really should be bulldozed because it's really not livable, but it's the best they can do. So there are so many different things they run into that they don't feel like you're really an auditor early. So we came up with a 4-step career ladder that will take them also into other jobs. The first we did was a weatherization technician, which is the crew member. The next is an energy analyst technician. And if you have a place on your website that this could be posted, I can give it to you to put up there. We did an energy analyst technician. That's a person who takes the auditing, the tactics and the auditing course, who passes the BPI exam. but does not have really on-the-ground experience. We're calling them a technician because we really feel like you can't go out and do this work on your own. You're going to continue to need some supervision. You'll need some practice. And so we didn't want to use that word auditor at that point, so we made it a home energy analyst or an energy analyst technician, staying away from the auditor word. The next level then is weatherization crew chief. For us, that's a person who has to take both the tactics and the auditing, but they do not have to sit for the BPI exam. And the reason we're requiring for them to do both is because not only are they having to read the work orders and supervise their people, but after the work is done, they really need to be able to go back into that house and do a mini audit to make sure things were done correctly. And we've heard some horror stories. Our state agency does a lot of quality control stuff, so they'll go to a house that's been fixed supposedly and do an audit and see if it's correct. And they've had things like they put in a blower door and turn it on, and all the insulation that's in the attic starts getting pulled down to the first floor because they didn't seal the ends of the rafters. They had one that they did that, and all the ashes from the chimney came flying out because they didn't close the flue. So there are so many things that can go wrong. Our state really wants crew chiefs to be able to do a mini audit and check on all that stuff before they say, you're fine. Then the next level is the auditor. That's after they've got their BPI and they've had some practice. Now that we actually have the courses up and running, one thing we need to do is find a way to define what adequate experience is for people to be comfortable to say they are an auditor. And we run into this problem because the state agency doing the low-income housing requires one thing, and the state agency that allows contracts to be certified as home energy performance contractors use very different criteria. And so the colleges are saying, someone needs to give me measurable outcomes, things that we can define so we know that somebody actually has reached that point. So that's one of our next steps that we have to do. The other thing that colleges have talked about, and Rosalyn, I actually talked with BCCC about this the other day, if we say an auditor needs to have, home energy technician needs to have experience before they are truly an auditor, we're looking into whether the college could really set that step up as a cooperative education program or an internship program. So it would still be managed by the college. We would be able to give that test at the end to say, yes, you did master all of this. And then we can give them a valid certificate, even if it's only one that the state recognizes, but a valid certificate that says you really can stand on your own to be an auditor. So that's one of our next things that we have to look at. So if someone's going through those four steps, they then could transfer into construction because they learn many really useful skills from construction. They could become an envelope specialist. Envelope is the roof, the siding, the crawl space, all that exterior part of the house. And then there's another job for an HVAC technician. Now, that doesn't really work as a career ladder for that particular part of the standards, but that is another step that HVAC folks could take. So that's kind of how we set it up. I haven't seen any other states doing a similar kind of thing, so I don't know if we are truly unique in this or not, but it seems to be making sense for everybody.
Do you anticipate the private sector requiring the same certifications as the state will that you've set up?
Well, we've been talking, the state agency that's in charge of that stuff is the Maryland Energy Administration, and they have said that they want, what they do is they funded the colleges to purchase the auditing equipment for instructional purpose, to purchase the NYSERDA curriculum, to train our instructors and all that stuff. They then are telling us that we want people to have to take the tactics course and the auditing course for them to be certified. Once they're certified by the state, not by BPI, but by the state, their name goes on a website. It's mdhomeperformance.org, I believe, that lists all of the contractors who have been officially approved by the state, so that if Bill Smith wants to hire a contractor, he can go to that website and find someone that is supposed to be good at what they do, rather than, you know, somebody they pick out of the board at the local grocery store because they said they can do this stuff. What we've countered with is, unless you require companies to do that before they're allowed to go on your website, it's not going to happen. So we continue to have that discussion. The other thing that we've talked about is that we should create a new statewide licensure or certification, just like plumbers have to get a license and home improvement contractors have to have a license, that there should be one for weatherization, because we're very concerned that some fly-by-night company comes in, hangs up a shingle, says, oh, yeah, we can do weatherization. They come in, they do a terrible job. They either, you know, can take away people's money and not accomplish anything. There are things that can be done during these installations that can cause the house to catch on fire. If they seal it up too tight, you can end up having carbon monoxide and everybody living in there dies. And so this person hangs up their shingle. There's nothing, at least in Maryland, there's no state law, there's no legal requirement of any kind for anybody to walk in and say, I can do a weatherization for you. You have to have a Maryland home improvement license if you're going to do structural changes to the house, put in a new kitchen, put in a bathroom. But according to our state licensure system, doing insulation and caulking does not require a license. So we're concerned we have people doing the work, taking people's money, not doing a good job. No one will be bonded. No one will be have insurance. So not only could they come in and do a bad job, but they could steal you blind. So that whole licensure issue is a big one for us. In Maryland, the only way we can change that is through the General Assembly, the statewide General Assembly, and they only meet January through April. So there's nothing we can do between now and January other than to lobby and encourage and push and make sure that this comes up before them as a real issue. Otherwise, our certification is BPI for the auditors. Certification for the crew members is just a certification through the college, which really doesn't have any weight, but we like people to think it does. BPI also does a certification for envelope and for the HVAC, and they are working, I think, with NYSERDA to create a new certification for weatherization installation. So that would be for the crew level people. They were hoping to have it done this summer. It's not there. Now they said, you know, it's taking longer than we thought. But at some point there will be that kind of certification available to you. So we certainly will move to that when the time comes. So I think I'm going to stop there. Oh, my gosh, it's 2:28. I'm sorry. I talked too long.
No, this is perfect.
That's okay.
And,
this is great.
Carol? One thing I would ask, if I email you the list of all the participants in our learning community, if you could respond to all those people on the email list with the material you talked about. We'd all appreciate it. And then anyone else who has additional questions can send it to you and the group. And then if you could respond, then we could all share on the response to that. So what I'll do is I'll email Carol thanking her for today's discussion, and then I'll include everyone in the PLC on there. And then if you could email all of us the material, and then as we go back and forth in the next week or two with questions, perhaps you could respond to all of us.
Sure. I'd be happy
to do
that.
Is that okay with everyone?
I just have one quick question. What is BPI?
Building Performance Institute.
Okay. Is that just in Maryland?
No, it's national. It's actually, I think the headquarters is in Maryland, but it's a national certification. So it should apply anywhere. It's just bpi.org on the web. And if I can do a quick plug in there, this is only a temporary job for me. They're just paying me to get this thing up and running, and after that, I'm going on to other things. So if anybody needs a grant writer, I'm a really good grant writer, too. So I just thought I would throw that out there. I've done an awful lot of DOL grants. And,
all right. Well, make sure we get your contact info.
Okay. That's why I thought I would mention that.
We'll get your contact information. And if it's okay with you, we would like to be able to call on you again. This has been super.
Sure.
Really
anything I can do, because it really is for everybody. So I'm happy to do it.
To be true to our rules, we're going to have to end the conversation, but this was really helpful for us, and it was exactly what we wanted to do. And I know we're going to be talking about this over the Internet some more, about this and some of the other programs. So I just wanted to repeat to everyone what we're going to do next week. There's a Green Jobs for All conference at the same time, so we're not going to meet next week. And the following week, we're going to have the annual grantee meeting, and I hope to see you guys there. So we're going to reconvene on the PLC on September 2nd. And I'll send out reminders, and we'll be doing emails in the next couple weeks talking about some of these issues. Is that okay with everyone?
I just have a quick question, Mike. It talks about this Green for All. And I go to your website to find out about it, or are you going to send it by your emails?
The Green for All conference next week?
Yes.
Did you get an announcement about that? I sent one to everyone. And one thing I'm concerned about is if the emails get filtered at all. I sent an announcement about next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central Time. There's a Green for All
webinar.
Yeah, and they're going to be talking about the Department of Labor Green Job Training Grants. There's two of them. There's a Pathways Out of Poverty and an Energy Training Partnership. One's $100 million and the other one's $150 million to provide training and placement services, provide pathways out of poverty and into employment in energy efficiency, renewable energy, and other green industries. And we thought everyone might want to join that. I'll send out, I think everyone gets the same access number and phone number. I'll send out a reminder of that.
Okay.
Next week. In fact, I'll send out a reminder, another re-announcement of that. That's going to occur next Wednesday, about the same time that our regular PLC meets. This is sponsored by Green for All. It's one of those conferences. There'll probably be 100 people on the line, and it'll be two or three guest speakers talking about these two grants.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Carol. This is Guy.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Bye.
We'll talk to you all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.